Hi there, this is David Hales from Coffee and Chat, where we talk to amazing people from our community. We've got Marg Hobby in the studio from Aldinga today. How are you, Marg?
I'm just sensational. Thanks, David.
All right, with all the little technical things we've had going here to get this show on the road, it's been a bit of a test, hasn't it?
Oh, well, it's all good fun.
Now, Marg is from Aldinga. Now, I don't know how long you've been there, Marg. How long have you been at Aldinga?
Well, I've been at Aldinga longer than the shops. I've been at Aldinga for well over 40 years.
Righto. And what made you move there?
Well, we came back from overseas in end of 75, beginning of 76, and I went into town and got myself a job. We were living with the parents-in-law down at Woodville, and we had $20 between us, so I figured I better get a job quick smart because I'm running out of money.
Now you, I've heard, you actually went into the workforce very early. Like, let's go back before Aldinga. You told me you started work at about 12. You left home at 12, was it?
I haven't lived at home since I was 12. I went to boarding school when I was 12.
Right.
And I, on the way to boarding school, my mother said, right, you're on your own now. If you get into trouble, it's bad luck because I won't be there to help you. I thought, Mum, I sort of got that. But
well, it's funny because the kids these days, like, you know, they're 30 and 35 and still home, and you think, oh, my God, you know, even magpies kick them out the nest.
That's
before
exactly
then.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got that off my chest now because I started work at about 16, and I left home at, what, 25, 26, and married my wife, and that was it. We've been gone now from there for, you know, since 1987. Yeah, it's history. Anyway, back to Aldinga. Now, just describe Aldinga for us, because it's a beautiful area.
I really like Aldinga, but when I first went down there, it seemed like it was the end of the earth, and it probably was the end of the earth then, because there were two buses to the railway station every day.
Yeah.
And if you missed them, the next one was 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Well, I remember you used to come down to O'Halloran Hill at Darlington, and then it was a water bag trip to Morford Vale. And then there was stuff again.
Yeah.
And then there was no stuff all the way to Cape Jervis, you know. So, yeah, so you're out there on your own.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as I said, it's a beautiful area. Hills, vines, ocean, whatever. It's lovely living there. Well, what do you find is your favourite thing about living at Aldinga?
I just think living near the sea was always paramount for me. Even though I came off a farm, but living near the sea was always paramount, and there's a certain amount of serenity.
Yes.
That's what I find. Yeah. I don't have to be on the beach. I don't have to be in the water. I don't have to even be able to see it, but just knowing it's there.
It's there,
It just has that serenity. And if you feel like something special to do, you can always go for a drive along the Esplanade and look at the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. We quite often go down there and park in the various car parking space and just sit there for hours. You know, we've been down there filming Thunder and Lightning coming in over the ocean. It's beautiful. Okay, so what is there to do at Aldinga? What do you do to occupy your time, Marg?
Well, since the COVID thing, I've been in seventh heaven because I've had all this time to spend in my sewing room.
Oh, righto. Okay.
And I've turned out lots of UFOs. I've finished them off. Not all of them. I've finished a lot off and I've created lots more. UFO being unfinished object.
I've got them everywhere. Yep.
And so it's been good. From that point of view, and we did live in another house when I first went down there, and after 29 years, or pretty close to 29 years, we moved into house number two.
Yeah.
And we moved to house number two because we wanted more house and less garden.
You wanted more sewing room,
and
didn't you?
I needed some sewing room.
Have you got your own space now?
I've got my own space, which is the equivalent of two bedrooms.
Right, okay.
That's what it was on the plan. So
folks, I think I know where I'm sending all my stuff to be fixed from now on.
Oh, it's not the fixing stuff, it's the sewing stuff.
Right. Now,
creating.
You are an avid quilter. So tell me what the story is there.
Well, I've sewn forever.
Yeah.
And when I was at primary school, you got marched up the street from the school to the schoolmistress's house to learned to sew.
Right.
And that was just stitching and things like
that.
In
my era, that was home economics. That's where I learned to sew in home ec.
Yeah, well, they didn't call it that then. It was just called stitching or sewing.
Yeah.
And so then when I went to boarding school, I was an option to do some extra stuff. So I did sewing.
Mm.
And in those days, we had Treadley sewing machines at boarding school.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I quite liked working on the Treadley.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time went on, of course, you just learned to sew a bit more, and it's practice with everything. It's always practice.
So all right, you've done all the practice. You know how to really sew. And do you use those skills mainly to create new things or repair old things? Or what's the story behind why you do it?
Mostly to create new things.
Yeah.
And when I came to Adelaide and started work, because I needed some clothes, didn't I?
Oh, right, eh? Yeah,
own. I made my own. Yeah. And I used to make my own suits and all those sorts of things to wear to work, because that's the sort of stuff I had to wear to work.
Yeah.
And of course, I got better and better at it, and I thought used to feel pretty good, and then I'd get better fabric.
Right.
That was the secret, was in the quality of the fabric.
So yep.
I got better fabric and silks and things like that, and I felt I had some really nice sorts of things to wear to work.
Yeah.
Then after a while, I thought, I think I've got enough stuff to wear to work. I better start wearing some of it out.
Yeah.
So as time went on, I thought, well, I better not just keep sewing clothes. And I thought, I met one of my mates and she was into patchwork. So I thought, I reckon I could do that too.
Yep.
And I could still play with the sewing and do fabric and mix with the sewing type people and things like that. And I could make quilts.
Right, yep.
And one of the things I learnt about making quilts was that I could share them.
Yes.
And that was fun. And a lot of the quilters do things like that. Yep. They make quilts to share. Some people do things with the guild predominantly, and then they might make little baby quilts, and a lot of those get sent off to the hospitals for people to give to people who've got premier babies or lost their babies or things like that. And I thought, that's a good idea. Not so much about the baby stuff, but to have some quilts on hand. And I like to have a couple on hand.
And it's nice to help somebody. Yeah. You know, I think the whole idea is using your skills to help people.
Yeah. And so I found that if people were in dire straits, I could give them a quilt. Mm. And that helped them feel a bit better. And the other thing is, if they were sick or something like that and somebody given them the quilt, there was something else to talk about other than the elephant in the room. And that helped both of them
That's Marg's life coach showing through here. The elephant in the room. Yes. It's good to give stuff to people to help. I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson, the scientist, on the thing, and he says he likes to go to bed every night knowing he's helped someone that day.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And the gift is in the giving.
It is. Mm. It is. Now, do you do more machine work or hand sewing?
A little bit of both. I quite like piecing, which is when you put all the little bits and bobs together.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of that on the sewing machine.
Yep.
And I also like the applique, which is when you put little bits of fabric on top of other bits of fabric.
Oh, yeah. Like the holes in the knees on my pants.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. And you can arrange it in a certain way to get a picture or to get a certain effect, and that's called applique.
Right.
And then I'll do a lot of that by hand because I can do that in front of the TV with a light over my shoulder.
You got the callus on the finger from the needle?
No, use the thimble.
Yeah, I remember watching The Simpsons and Lisa's, becoming a woman, there was to have the callus on the finger from the needle point. Yeah.
No, that's got a thimble to protect your finger for that.
Yeah. I do a lot of machine sewing for the studio for all the backdrops and things like that. You might want to join two green pieces together, but that's the limit of my work.
Maybe you could do with a Treadley. Would you like a Treadley,
No,
Dave?
I don't want a Treadley. No, I like the electric one. It's much better fun. Okay, so that's one of the things you do to occupy your time, and I believe you're a member of a group, or the guild, is it?
I belong to the guild, yes, and they have certain programs like at the moment, the they've got a mystery quilt going, and the guild virtually shut up shop because of the COVID thing for the moment. So on the website, they've got different sorts of mystery quilts that somebody's created, and people can do that if they want to. And you sew all these bits and bobs together, and when you're finished, you have something that you didn't know you're going to have when you started.
What's the one they do where everybody adds a piece to a quilt?
And that's called a friendship quilt, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, because I've seen lots of them done around. Sometimes in families, each daughter adds their piece to the quilt, so it becomes a family
quilt. Well, and that has its advantages, but one of the disadvantages and one of the things that would turn me off and turn some people off is that everybody's skill level is different.
Right.
And if you're the bit of the perfectionist and you have to pick up or add to something that someone else has done, which is not quite to your standard, you don't have the same degree of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
It becomes a chore.
Yeah, you're going along there and looking at all the lovely what is that?
My thing is, the moment something becomes a chore is the moment you give it away. I don't go down that street.
Oh, mate, I should give up this job now. No, it's too much fun. We're going to meet a lot of people with this mug, you know. And I think with what you do, it's all about meeting the people. I've done lots of things in my life that I've found in the end it was the people, meeting the people.
Yes.
It wasn't the actual initial thing. So I assume in quilting circles you have them too.
Well, you do, and you find the people that you like and you find the people that you work around.
The 80-20 rule, Mark, the 80-20 rule. Now, tell me, what do you see as the future for Aldinger and your relationship with Aldinger?
Well, it's just growing and growing and growing, and it would be nice if they actually got the train down there.
Continue it on from Seaford or whatever.
Yeah, from Seaford, because they've now got this super duper school down there that's supposed to start up business whenever school goes back.
Right. Is that the original, the primary, or is it another one that
they've done? No, there's this super duper school on Quinlivan Road.
Yep.
And it's supposed to go from a way to go, not to whatever it is.
Yeah, so you just drop
12,
them off there when they're born and
leave it, pick them up when they're 25.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
but point being that if they want to have those people in that school, first they've got to feed the school, as in it's got to have the people coming from somewhere.
Of course.
And you don't want 6 million cars all over the place because there's not enough space for 6 million cars. So wouldn't it be half smart if they actually got on the train?
Yes.
And then sooner or later, there's a fair chance that they're going to want to go to university. So if they got on the train and went to town,
Got to get into Adelaide.
Yeah, and they want to get home again.
That's right.
Safely.
Well, we just have to keep pushing
the pollies.
I have this thing about pollies this day. I don't know why we have them because I don't know what they actually do for us. It's a, you know.
Well, there's a lot in that bracket, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway, Mug, it's been good to have you in, and we look forward to catching up with you again in the future. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Okay, folks, we'll see you again next time around.